The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 91 26025.
Okay, Tuesday morning, 12 minutes past 10, the 23rd of May. We're joined in studio now by Garda Sergeant Eunan Walsh from Letterkenny Garda Station. Eunan, thanks so much for joining us.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm good. And we've quite a bit to get through. So we'll start with the Garda investigation into a fatal road traffic collision in Loddon.
Yes, Greg. Gardaí in Muncrana are investigating a fatal road traffic collision which occurred in the townland of Loddon, Muncrana, just outside Muncrana on the main Muncrana to Derry Road. It occurred on the early hours of Sunday morning, the 21st of May, so Saturday night, Sunday morning, at approximately 3:15 a.m. A female pedestrian, aged 21 years, named as Rebecca Brown from Derry, was struck by a Garda patrol car at the scene. No other persons were injured during the collision, and our thoughts and prayers are Rebecca's family and friends. So we're appealing for anyone with information to contact us at Muncrana Garda Station, 07493 205 40, or again at the confidential line 1-800-666-111, or any Garda station. So anybody in the area time, anybody who was passing, who may have dash cam footage to make it available to Gardaí at Muncrana. So that's the accident last Sunday morning at 3:15 a.m.
Okay, and Gardaí also investigating a road traffic collision in Remelton.
Yes, this is a hit and run accident which occurred last Friday morning, shortly before 9:30 a.m. Friday the 19th. Gardaí and Milford received a report of a two-vehicle road traffic collision at Bridge Street, Remelton. The driver of one of the vehicles was a silver Opel Astra and had been travelling along Bridge Street when a red Mitsubishi Shogun partial reg LLZ collided with the passenger side door of the other car, causing extensive damage. Unfortunately, the driver of the red Shogun did not remain at the scene to exchange details, but continued on in the direction of Rathmullen. So a fairly distinctive vehicle there, a red Mitsubishi Shogun partial reg LLZ. So we're appealing with any road users who were in the area at the time and who may have dash cam to make the footage available to Gardaí. And again, if anybody observed the incident or they can assist in any way, to contact the Gardaí at Milford, 07491 530 60.
Yeah, and do I suppose the driver should take note that there's a good description, a partial reg at least, and probably in their best interest to come forward at this point too. Now, investigations into criminal damage in Dookery Village.
Yes, this is a criminal damage incident occurred in Dookery Village between 10 p.m. last Wednesday the 17th and 2:20 p.m. Thursday the 18th. So sometime Wednesday night and in the early hours of Thursday morning. The large welcome stone, which was situated atop of the corkscrew in Dookery, was broken into pieces between those times. So Gardaí and Milford are anxious to hear from anybody who has relevant information in relation to the damage. And again, Milford Garda Station contacted 07491 530 60.
And this is not the first instance in Dookery Village, or not the first kind of incident we hear of. You know, it could be park benches, it could be trees. Just worth reminding people and those responsible, Eunan, that this is criminal activity that they're engaging in. This is damage to property, which is being rigorously investigated.
Yes, and it's all property that's maybe money was raised to charity or having events to finance these pieces of, you know, to welcome people to areas and park benches to make the areas more attractive. And again, it's not nice to hear about these things, Greg.
Yeah, okay. We have a few appeals as it relates to criminal damage. We'll start in Letterkenny, Eunan.
Yes, this is a recent number of incidents which occurred in the James Larkin Court area of the old town of Letterkenny. The first occurred last Thursday at approximately 8:05 p.m. Thursday the 18th. A brick was thrown through the front window of a house, causing it to smash. And a few hours later, in the early hours of Friday morning the 19th, a number of other windows at the same property were smashed by rocks. So again, we're appealing for any residents in the area to make contact with Gardaí if they heard or seen anything suspicious. And again, we're appealing for road users who travelled in the area at the time and who have dash cam to make it available. We are particularly interested, Greg, in any sightings or dash cam footage of a dark blue BMW with Northern Ireland registration plates, which was seen acting suspiciously in the area around those times. So that's a dark blue BMW Northern Ireland registration plates sometime from 8 p.m. Thursday night the 18th of May until 1:15 a.m. Friday the 19th of May.
Yeah, and people might have video doorbells and
yes,
security
if
cameras.
Yes, we'll have it checked and make it available to us, please.
Security cameras have never become more affordable now and easy to locate. Right, okay, St. Johnstone now, criminal damage
yes,
appeal.
Yes, again, this is substantial damage caused to a car in the Coshaven St. Johnstone area at approximately 4:10 a.m. on Friday the 19th of May. So that's sometime Thursday night, Friday morning the 19th of May. Two youths observed at the location causing substantial damage to a car. We believe that they were wearing grey hoodies and dark trousers. Windscreen of the car was smashed, as was the rear window. And again, the wing mirror on the driver's side was knocked off and the rear light on the passenger side also broken. We believe following incident, the two youths head off on foot towards the main Lifford to Derry Road, where it is believed that they got into a dark coloured car. So again, we're appealing to anybody who travelled along the main road past Coshaven around that time and who has dash cam to make it available to Gardaí at Letterkenny, 07491 67100. So that's in the Coshaven area of St. Johnstone, sometime last Thursday night, Friday morning, the 19th of May.
Okay. Presbyterian church in Convoy targeted.
Yes, this is the Presbyterian church on the Letterkenny Road in Convoy. Damage was caused to the roof of a porta cabin to the rear of the church between midday last Saturday the 20th of May and 9 a.m. on Monday morning, sometime after midday on last Saturday. Would appear that the roof may have been jumped on a number of occasions, causing it to collapse in parts. So again, this may be more what we would consider antisocial behaviour causing damage to a property. So we're anxious to further this investigation due to the criminal aspect of it, but also in relation to the safety aspect. Behaviour such as this is criminal in nature, but is also highly dangerous. So appealing for anybody who have observed any suspicious activity around the church grounds over the weekend to be contacted with the Gardaí Letterkenny 07491 67100 or again the confidential line 1-800-666-111.
Now we are talking about a potential attempted theft of a vehicle in Letterkenny.
Yes, this is a possible attempted theft of a car from the Ballymacool Woods area of Letterkenny. So sometime last Wednesday the 17th, last Wednesday between 12:30 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. Window on the driver's side was smashed in the attempt to have the vehicle stolen, we believe, and the ignition was tampered with. So fortunately, the car in question was fitted with an immobiliser and the attempt was unsuccessful. So we're appealing for anybody who may have observed anything suspicious in the Ballymacool Woods area of Letterkenny last Wednesday the 17th, again, to contact the Gardaí. Again, this happened in broad daylight. So we're hopeful that somebody may have some information for us to help our investigation, Greg.
Okay, right, let's move on now. National Community Engagement Week, which includes property marking events.
Yes, this has occurred this week. Events will take place across the Donegal Division until this Friday the 26th. It's a great opportunity to meet with your local Gardaí and community reps, discuss what is important to you. Details of all these events may be viewed on our Donegal Gardaí Síochána Facebook page. And a number of property marking events, which are becoming very popular, are taking place this week. And details of these are also listed on the Facebook page, Greg.
Okay. Now, some important information for business owners, I think particularly those in rural areas, because this is intelligence-led warning here, yeah. Of course, based on information and experience. So what is the warning being issued?
So, Sergeant Wallace, your friend there, our Divisional Crime Prevention Officer.
He's more your friend than mine.
Well, he's everybody's friend.
Okay.
He likes to think that, doesn't he? He's issued a warning in relation to local rural businesses in County Donegal. So we have our OCGs, something that you might associate with a TV
show,
programme,
yeah.
But we have them in our country as well. And the information that we have is that they have made their way up to the northwestern region, and some premises in our region have been targeted by these organised crime groups. So the owners, operators, particularly in rural areas of shops and filling stations, are urged to be aware of the current crime trends where filling stations have been targeted. So the information is that these organised crime groups will conduct surveillance on your property and a visit the same prior to attacking same. So again, Sergeant Wallace has requested that business owners review their security arrangements and take the necessary steps. Again, the information on this will be provided on our Garda Facebook page. I'm not going to go into too much detail, Greg, about how they operate.
But I'll tell you, what we can do from quick read-through is they do come up, they do scout, and they're professionals.
Yes.
And that is not to give them any credit whatsoever. They will block alarm signals, they'll you know, they'll try and access wiring outside the premises and all that type of stuff. So everything they really know what they're at like.
They'll access CCTV hard drives, they'll remove the CCTV, they're targeting, they're looking for cash. Office safes will also be target. So the crime of prevention vice in relation to how you secure a premise will be put up on our Facebook page.
And it is extensive. And don't keep your hard drive on the premises.
Yes, Sergeant Wallace can be contacted at paul.wallace@garda.ie for any advice. And he has indicated that if necessary, he will visit your premises for you.
Okay, great stuff. And it is a very good service indeed. We had the pleasure yesterday of speaking to pretty much all bar one of the overall winners from the Donegal Garda Youth Awards, and I say it with a smile on my face, Eunan, because I mean it, like, amazing young people.
Yes,
and I love this competition. We talk about it pretty much for 12 months of the year, and do you know what? Fair play, because it's such an important thing.
Yeah, we want to congratulate them all. The Youth Awards, the winners were announced last Thursday in the Green On Theatre. So the overall award winners were the Individual Award, Dara O'Shaughnessy from Mulray College. The Special Achievement Award went to Adam Locke, St. Columba's Comprehensive School in Glenties. The Group Award went to the student body from Mulroy College, and the Community Safety Award went to Donegal Youth Diversion Project. So the winners now go forward to be considered for a national award, and we wish them all the very best with that. Not putting them under pressure, but we have had winners at the national award every year so far, and we're hopeful that that will continue. So well done to all of the young people who were nominated for an award this year. And as always, it was very difficult to choose over winners. Each and every one of them should feel very proud of themselves and wish them all the best in the future, Greg.
Yeah, and that applies to each and every one of them that were even nominated, because every nomination is recognised. And I'm sure over the course of the next wee while, we'll announce the opening of the awards for 2024. But Garda Sergeant Eunan Walsh, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Greg.
Okay, that was Community Garda information for this Tuesday, the 23rd of May. We'll be back with that item on the programme after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday. We'll be back with more on the programme today after this break. All right, thanks for your comments. Keep them coming into us. They will be read. 086 60 25000, WhatsApps and texts to that number. And as you know, you can also give Caroline O'Neave a call on 074 91 25000. We're joined on the programme now by Donegal County Councillor Gary Doherty. Gary, thanks for your time. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm good. Right. Now, talks are underway to find a new cross-border accommodation for the Youth Reach programme in Lifford because, of course, efforts are now in full swing to keep this facility in the local area. What has raised question marks about it?
Well, as you know, Greg, Youth Reach is a programme that's been operating for well over 30 years, and we're very lucky to have had a Youth Reach Centre in Lifford since around about the year 2000, which has been operating very well. It's been offering that accommodation, an alternative education source for young people between 15 and 20, and it's been a great success story. Lifford Youth Reach, that centre down there, but unfortunately it became apparent over the last number of months that the contract or the lease on the premises that the current Youth Reach is in was expiring, and also that the centre wasn't really fit for purpose anymore, that really they needed a different space for Youth Reach in Lifford. So as far as I'm aware, a process was entered into where Lifford DTB in cooperation with Lifford Youth Reach were looking for alternative accommodation in Lifford, and unfortunately at this stage I haven't been able to find any.
So the plan is at this time to amalgamate the service with Letterkenny, but presumably that creates a lot of difficulties for getting people to and from the Youth Reach services. I mean, Letterkenny from Lifford is a tight run, and, you know, you have to get there and you have to get back.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, we have to think about this in the context of what Youth Reach is. Youth Reach is aimed at people who have left formal secondary education without any real formal qualifications either. So really what Youth Reach is to try and get those people back into an environment where they feel comfortable attending something every day and learning and getting qualifications and gaining experience that are going to help them then when they come to enter the workplace after they leave the Youth Reach programme. And I think part of that, it's really important that you keep these people in their own communities, because, for example, if you say to someone in Kelly Gordon or Castle Finn or St. Johnson, look, there's a youth reach program. We want to send you to it. We think it's a good fit for you, but you're going to have to get a bus to Letterkenny over and back every day. I think that
it's not going to happen. It's not. I mean, if I was in Donegal Town, and there was a service in Bundoran, you know, it might as well be a million miles away. You're not going to go to and from that. And it's a barrier to access, and there should be no barriers to access in terms of youth reach. Is there a possibility, and we'll talk about your proposals in a moment, I'm not sure how regularised the times are. Is there a possibility that if we can't, your alternative, put into place, that there is a dedicated bus that people get on in Lifford, go to Youth Reach, and it picks them up and brings them back? I mean, if you know what I mean, rather than sort of using, scheduled services, perhaps, is that a possibility? Is that on the table at all?
Yeah, I think it is. And look, in that regard, I wouldn't have any criticisms of Donegal ETB for what they've done to try and accommodate the students, because they have been actively seeking alternative accommodation, and they are putting contingency measures in place, and I think the bus is going to be operational to take the students to Letterkenny. So look, while I would commend Donegal ETB for the work in that regard and getting the bus sorted, it still doesn't negate the fact that they still have to get a bus from Castlefin, Killigordon, Lifford, then all the way around to Letterkenny, over and back each day, which, look, as you say, that's, I don't think it's practical. And I don't think anybody could agree that it is.
Yeah, it feels like a barrier to access. Right, your proposal is that very close to Lifford, of course, is Strabane, just across the bridge, and a suitable accommodation has been identified there. Your proposal is that this service be provided in Strabane. Now, I don't know what precedent there would be for an ETB service to be operated in what effectively is a different jurisdiction. Has it been done before? Can it be done?
Well, the answer to has it been done before, as far as I'm aware, no. I don't think there is precedent for this. But when I raised this at the Donegal ETB board meeting last Monday, I did acknowledge that, you know, this is thinking outside the box a wee bit. And it probably is without precedent, but I think we need to be doing and thinking about all solutions to this issue that we can. I mean, for example, if we were to find a suitable accommodation in Strabane, it would have the potential to tick numerous boxes, with the only caveat being that it would be in a different jurisdiction, albeit one that's just across the border from Lifford and Strabane. For Lifford Youth Reach to carry out its function outside its geographical boundary, I don't see any reason why Strabane shouldn't be on the table. Because if we think about Lifford Strabane as an urban area, it's really one large urban area. It may be split down the middle with a county boundary and with the river, but to all intents and purposes, the people in Lifford Strabane coexist perfectly happily. And they cross the border numerous times every day to do their business or to visit family, whatever it is. So on a short-term basis, I don't see why there should be any barrier that if a suitable accommodation was found in Strabane, to just keep the service in the area for the time being, that we can't look at that.
And finally, have the ETB responded to that proposal yet to you?
Well, again, I want to commend the Chief Executive of Donegal ETB, because when I raised this at the meeting last Monday, I was expecting a wee bit of blowback that, you know, they make through various hurdles in the way. But the Chief Executive was completely open to it. And in fact, she said that it was something that she herself had considered and that they were looking at the possibility of how we could go about leasing a short-term premises in Strabane. And thankfully, the Chief Executive has come back to me, and given that last week was very busy in the six counties with the local elections, we are now in the process of setting up meetings for 2 weeks' time to discuss a number of potential premises where we could house Lifford Youth Reach, which I think would be an incredible victory for us in the short term, just to keep the service in the area.
All right, interesting. We'll watch with interest. Okay, listen, thank you very much indeed, Councillor Gary Doherty there. A caller says, my father got a home insurance quote for 2023. It was €1,044. In 2022, it was €667, and in 2021, it was €510. This is increased by 100%. Is anyone else experiencing this increase, Greg? I would be really interested to know. Well, yes, I can tell you one person that did, me. And we also had contact from someone yesterday, and I can't remember the exact figures, but I think theirs went from 600 to 900, and then they got a quote for 500. And that was with increased value in terms of rebuild costs. And please, whenever you are getting a quote for your home insurance, all right, you might think, well, how much could I get it on the open market? 150,000. You don't insure it for 150,000. To rebuild that house would probably cost you 200,000-300,000, maybe even a little bit more. So whenever you're getting your house insurance, please make sure that you insure it for the rebuild and not its current value. But anyway, be that as it may, shop around. There are websites online that you can put in your details once and it will tell you the cheapest. And I saved a couple of hundred quid. The listener yesterday, I think they saved 300 or 400 euros as well. But please don't be brand loyal. Shop around. It's very, very easy to switch. I insured my house in about 5 minutes with a company sitting on in a car park halfway to work. I wasn't actually coming to work in the morning, but I was on my way up here. And it was really incredibly simple. It was all done on the telephone in a matter of moments. So it's not complicated to shop around and to switch. So please do. Some reaction to the piece we did earlier on in relation to the conviction of Richard. I'll come back to that in a second. The justice system is a complete joke, says this caller, when someone can go into a house, kill a young woman in front of her children and will probably only serve 8 years. Another, this was horrific murder. If you take drugs or drink, it will be manslaughter. Totally repugnant sentence. If this happened in any other country, this depraved person would never get out. You want to talk about him and not her family or her children. I would just, and particularly for people who have, you know, mental health issues, and many, many people do, and they live their lives and they would never dream of harming anyone else. It just always, and I'm not talking about this specific case, I'm talking generally speaking, I think it almost does them a disservice sometimes when you read certain articles in that it is some sort of an excuse. Now, I know there is various levels of mental illness one can have, but it seems to be a very useful defence. Let's see. In relation to the topic being discussed about the tragic events in Killigordon, is there a question to be asked of the Garda as to how they handled the hostage situation? Could they have acted differently, resulting in a different outcome? P.S. I'm a retired member myself. I don't want to go the ins and outs of it, but I remember it at the time. And I suppose you would, as a former member yourself, would understand that. As I say, I don't want to discuss it because it's outside of the trial now. But listen, you're a former member of the Gardaí, and you would know more than I, perhaps. I am a type 1 diabetic for over 40 years. The diabetes care at Letterkenny Hospital is worse now than it ever was. Okay. Greg, your comment, if you have money, you can get hospital appointments. These comments annoy me so much as someone who has been told just over the threshold for a medical card. What options do we have? And as Paul said, these people save up. I don't have near the lifestyle of people around me who have a medical card because we have to save. So just don't think because you have health insurance means you have lots of money. It means with what money you have to budget and go without a lot of things. I think you might have misheard what I said, and this is with absolute respect. What I'm saying, it was nothing to do with medical cards. I was saying that there are many illnesses out there that people need a quick diagnosis with. And the system is chock-a-block, it seems. And you can go and get a private, pay to see a private consultant. And you can get a quicker diagnosis. It's nothing to do with medical health or how much money you have. It's a two-tier health system. If you have money, you can access private health care. This is not insurance. You can just say... you can just go and see a consultant if you wish. Like, for instance, a perfect example, and we are in May, which is Lyme disease month, and this will make my point better. So forget about medical cards. You could have someone who is going in and out of their GP. They can't get a diagnosis. They're being told it's absolutely this, that, and the other. They're taking different medicines. It's not working. And then they hear an article on this program or somewhere else that says, well, could it be Lyme disease? Now, you can't. You have to go and pay Professor Lambert down in Dublin to go and see him, to go and get your bloods tested in Germany and get a diagnosis. And if you have Lyme, to be put on antibiotics. That's nothing to do with medical cards. That's to do with the way the health system works, that if you have money, you can... And as I said also in my comments, fair play, I don't begrudge that whatsoever. But I just wanted to highlight the fact that sometimes in this country, you get better services if you've got more money. I understand exactly what you're saying in terms of people being guilted for having private health insurance. Jenna McMonagall is the sister of Jasmine McMonagall and is on the programme with me now. Jenna, thank you very much for joining us. How are you and your mum and the family keeping?
Hi, Greg. Thanks for having me on this morning. Yeah, we're doing okay. It's been such a long journey, over 4 years, and it's just kind of unbelievable today that it's over, you know.
And it was in stages, wasn't it, Jenna? I mean, obviously you had the terrible loss of your sister and the circumstances, which is incredibly difficult to very difficult to work through. But then you've got this period in between it and then a trial, and you must feel like sometimes you're in some sort of a no man's land trying to process all that grief, but at the same time knowing that it all has to be revisited through a trial.
Yeah, it's definitely like a bit of a limbo, you know, and you kind of get yourself psyched up to go to something related to the court or go to speak to the guards about something. And then you kind of bring yourself back again, and then before you know it, you're away again. So it's just a real roller coaster, for sure. But it's as I said, it's just very hard to believe that it's kind of come to an end of this part of the journey. But it's been so long, so long.
And I mean, obviously, the trial was very, very difficult. What's your reaction to the outcome of that trial? This person will serve 14 years, has already served a couple of those, and that sentence also too automatically has 25% for good behaviour. Now, of course, the judge set a number of conditions for his release and for that last year being suspended. But what's your reaction to that sentence, Jenna?
Yeah, over the past 4 years, if I've learned anything, it's that the law is very, very strange. We've kind of been prepared for this outcome. You know, it was a very strange way it went with the jury. The jury kind of basically had one option. But as far as the diminished responsibility, it's just very hard to wrap your head around the fact that, you know, somebody that had kind of said this on several different occasions, that he, you know, expressed that he would like to do this to my sister and then actually did it. And that, you know, it was a drug related, alcohol related, you know, could have affected his mental health at the time. And like, these are things that he chose to do himself. If it was our way, he would never see the light of day again. But it's, you know, just tricky with this diminished responsibility aspect. But, you know, we're never going to be happy with the outcome.
No, of course not. And we were just speaking a little earlier on. I mean, obviously the prosecution, they themselves had their own witness to assess his responsibility. And effectively the reason why you say the jury ended up with just one choice was because effectively they were, for the most part, in agreement with the defence witnesses. Did your heart sink at that point?
Yeah, we kind of knew this a little bit earlier than that time that this was probably going to be the case. So we were a little bit prepared when we went in there. But yeah, whenever I found out that this side agreed that at the time that it happened, he did have a psychosis or whatever it was. It did. But I have to say, like, the prosecution, she did, you know, say that during interviews and things, like, although he had this whatever at the time it happened, you know, he was very prone to exaggerating his symptoms and things like this during interviews, and just, you know, and a psychosis, as they say, can last a few minutes and then afterwards fine again. It's just, oh, it's just very hard to accept the fact that somebody who knows, you know, that maybe taking drugs, drinking alcohol is going to affect him badly, or, you know, somebody who has basically premeditated something like this can, you know, be walking free again and so many years and a bit off for good behaviour.
Because there's thousands of people out there, many listening to this programme, that realise that drink or drugs doesn't agree with them, that they go into White Oaks or somewhere else or seek support or help. You know, in general society, if people feel that they have a problem, often they go and seek help. They don't go on to rob two beautiful children and a family of another beautiful person in Jasmine. And in terms of the future, Jenna, are you just sort of trying to process this verdict and sentencing and the sentencing yesterday, or is your mind already turning to the fact that, is this person going to be out in 7 or 8 years? Am I going to bump into him in the street? You know.
As soon as the verdict is kind of read, that's the first thing that you're thinking about. Like, this person is going to be out, and how old am I going to be then? How old are the children involved going to be then? You know, what am I going to be protected? What's he going to be thinking when he gets out? Who's he going to want to see? This type of thing. It's just all running through your head, you know.
Yeah. Can we remember? Go ahead.
To be honest, like, I wouldn't want to be in a room with him in 10 years' time, whatever.
Jasmine was a beautiful person inside and out. We're all familiar with her pictures and her smile and her infectious smile. Can you talk to me a little bit about Jasmine? Can we remember Jasmine and...
It's so hard to even, like, summarize her in a short few words. And we share lots about her on Mum's page, Smile for Jasmine. Like, we share pictures and things like this. But to actually, like, the essence of Jasmine, she was so funny. She was just such a great girl. She was so smart and so, so kind to her family. And, you know, I think as Mum had said before, like, she sponsored a child from another country. And she, you know, at Christmas time, she'd be the person that you just have a mountain of presents from Jasmine. And maybe on, like, Friday the 13th and things, she'd be the one playing pranks. She was just, she's a real character.
And your mother mentioned how much she loved Christmas as well.
Oh, she loved Christmas. She loved Christmas. Yeah, she really did.
And I know
we lost so much.
Yeah, and I know it's really important, and that's why I wanted to ask about Jasmine. And I'm glad you got to mention the Facebook page, because it's really important that for the family and for everyone and for the children that she's not forgotten either, and that her stories and pictures are out there for people to remember her. That is important to your mum particularly, isn't it, Jenna?
It's very important to Mum. Whenever all this trial's happening and everything, everybody gets to hear the horrible details, and it's so difficult to imagine what she went through when this happened. And even for the family, you just get flashes and images, and you just want to be able to remember in a way that isn't so horrific, you know? Yeah. So it's so important, so important.
And I'm not sure if it's helpful or not, Jenna, but I know exactly what you're talking about, because even I, and I'm sure many people listening, you know, even when you at the time and in the weeks after, and we had your mum, I'm not sure if you were with her up here in the years afterwards, and beautiful people. Yeah. But you do find yourself, you know, you do have these flashes where you find yourself thinking about things that you don't want to think of. And it's really difficult. We maybe just don't consider that. Jenna, does the family feel, or do you feel that all the questions that you had have been answered now, if that makes sense? Obviously, in terms of this, you're not going to be satisfied with the verdict, but that is what it is. But do you feel that all the questions the family has have been answered now?
I don't think every question's ever going to be answered. And maybe now, after the trial is finished and everything's finished, we might have some more time to think about, you know, the lingering questions and things that we want to get answered. And hopefully, maybe we can get those answers.
Okay. Well, listen, Jenna, thanks very much for speaking to us. You know, I mean, the entire county and country has been thinking on you and supporting you in this awful journey and that awful time between the terrible events and the trial. And hopefully now you can move forward with the next stage of the grieving process now that this is behind you. And best wishes to you, to your mum, and particularly to Jasmine's beautiful children. And we just wish you all the strength that you need. But you know that we are thinking on you and praying for you at this difficult time.
Thank you so much. Your thoughts and all your messages and kindness doesn't go unnoticed. And it really, really helps so much. So thank you to everybody.
Bye-bye, Jenna. Thanks very much indeed. That's Jenna McMonagall there, Jasmine's sister. Lots and lots of support coming in for Jasmine's family, as you can imagine. And thank you to all of you. And we'll pass them on. God bless the McMonagall family. May God give them strength and courage, especially her beautiful children. We are all thinking and praying for you all, says a listener there. If you're planning to commit a crime, remember to first form a drug habit to affect your mental capabilities, thus giving you a perfect defence. Alternatively, accumulate €10,000 to offer as compensation to your victim seems to be the way to beat justice today in this country, feels a listener there. Bring back ward sisters. Hospitals will run much better than they are now. So that comes in every time we talk health. I understand where it comes from. With respect, there is no point discussing the budgets and running of LUH with county councillors. They have no power, though Councillor Jerry McMonagall is on the Regional Health Forum, so he does get to question Sialta representatives directly. So I take your point, but in this instance, we were speaking to him in the context of him being on the Regional Health Forum. But this caller goes on to say they have no power without council executive permission, let alone Department of Health issues. They simply waffle about the issues to higher level wafflers in the Oireachtas. The neglect of Donegal for health services, particularly heart and cancer services, is disgraceful. Renting prefabs that are permanent, a digger for floods, and allowing the money raised from car parks make no economic sense. Money that could be used to pay for necessary consultants. Let me see, is there more on that issue? So I'm not skipping from one issue to another. Went to Rathmullen Beach yesterday, went to the toilet, and when I was finished, there was no toilet paper in either toilet. Had to ask a lady to get me paper from the ladies' toilets. No toilet paper in the men's. We definitely are noticing a huge difference in bringing up our youngest child compared to our older children. We bought 5 items that we consider necessary items this week. It cost us just under €50. The cost of child rearing is worrying. I'm very worried. We had to pay €240 for a private consultant for a health condition on another child, but we can't afford the medication for him at the moment. So obviously, this must be a working family and unable to apply for a medical card if that's or you've been unsuccessful in applying for a medical card. But maybe it's worth checking out to see if you do fall under certain criteria. There are government services which do support people at times when they can prove that they don't have the resources. I might try and dig them out. When communities express concerns about mass immigration, educated elites call them small-minded and racist, but communities have lost a lot. They've lost their sense of control over their society. Another, hopefully they don't have to wait so long or too long for remedial works, but we all know be chatting about this a year from now. Yeah, but we'll keep on it, you know, and you heard from our guest, it's taken for what it is a positive step in the right direction, but certainly not the whole journey. So it's one little battle won, and then you keep at it, and hopefully you chip away. A caller says, I had a young boy in hospital last night via ED. I was seen to immediately, and he got the best of treatment. And I want to thank them immensely for everything. Seen and treated within no time. So I want to say thank you all at the emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital. And as I say, and I hope it's very, very clear, more than happy, and we often do, if people have positive experiences or any praise of staff or services, get them into us, because I am not on some sort of a hobby horse or a campaign here. We want to support and help the hospital. And that's what we try and do, and we've tried to do over recent years on this programme. Having to get a cardiac scan done, going private and paying over €500, I don't really have the spare cash for it, but don't want to wait. God knows how long it would take to get it in the public system. And that's a perfect example of what I was trying to say a little earlier on. So thank you for helping me sort of articulate that a little bit better. It's 15 miles from Lifford to Letterkenny, but the problem is those children who first have to travel to Lifford from other areas like Castlefin and St Johnstone. Does Youth Reach not have its own transport? And I got the impression from the conversation with Councillor Doherty that transport would be provided, as you say, from Lifford, but the young people would have already have had to got to the centre in Lifford in any case. So hopefully a bus is put on from that centre where people were already getting to and to and from Letterkenny. But it seems the ETB are looking favourably at the proposition of locating those services in Strabane. Right, quite a good reaction to an Instagram poll we put up on the programme yesterday, or on our Instagram yesterday. We asked, should restaurants still apply a service charge? Because that was off the back of a chat with Brian, who said that he had a 10% service charge put on his bill. So we asked you, the great public, to have your say. 12% of you voted yes, restaurants should still apply a service charge. 88% of you, though, voted no. Agnes said, no food in restaurants in this country is dear enough without having to pay a service charge, and most restaurants expecting tips too. Rebecca, she had her say and said, with the times that are in it, people are struggling enough. I do appreciate all the hospitality staff. It's one of the hardest jobs, especially during the summer. Sadly, these services charges make me stressed about going places, as I don't think I can afford it. I do always tip with whatever I can afford. And that's the key, you see. It's at your discretion. Right, okay. Coming up after 11, we've got a lot coming up on the show, but we're going to be speaking to Martin McFadden. He's an addiction counsellor. And we're going to be talking again about a topic we've discussed on this programme before, and it's an important one, and that is the huge increase in cocaine use across the region. And he's got some interesting views on it. He believes drugs are here to stay. So what's he suggesting we do? I don't know. Wait and see. Martin McFadden's coming up after the news at 11 o'clock. And I do feel, and I maintain it, that the availability of alcohol, the cost of alcohol, and the availability of drugs such as cocaine, that is helping to drive younger people to that drug, which we're told is as easy to get as a kebab. Obviously, this caller says the government are more concerned about the revenue from the sale and use of alcohol over the health and well-being of society. Imagine an addictive drug that through abuse and overuse can be so damaging, it's completely legal and freely available to everyone. Yeah, indeed. And I heard the health minister commenting on this yesterday. He says what they want, what the government wants, interested in your views on this. He says, we're not going to tell people how to live their lives, but whichever way you choose to live your life, you should have the knowledge of what damage it could be doing to you, which I thought was quite an interesting comment.